we awaked and have awaited up until noon a response from the authorities, more particularly the chairman of the Electoral Commission, to a letter written and signed by four citizens of Dominica: Loftus Duran, Afi Martin, Judith Pestena, and Dr. I.P. Pascal. We wrote this letter to the chairman, Duncan Stowe, to share with him the fact that we as private citizens have some concerns about the legality of the nomination process leading up to the by-elections to be held in Grand Bay in 2 days. That is on Thursday. The concerns that we raised in that letter were supported by documentation from the OAS Secretariat in Washington, D.C., which confirmed that one of the three candidates due to contest the election on Thursday has improperly stated his situation in the statutory declaration as part of the nominations process. Meaning, anyone who is still in the employ of the state and in receipt of emoluments, salaries, travel, hotel, per diems, and any other forms of emoluments, such a person is ineligible. Such a person cannot, under Dominica's electoral laws, contest any election, any public election, for public office. It appears, therefore, and this is our concern, it appears that the person we know as Ambassador Henderson is still Ambassador Henderson, still in the employ of the state of Dominica, and still in receipt of emoluments under that arrangement, under that contract with the state, and as a result of that, cannot be an eligible candidate for election, whether it be local elections, national elections, or as in this case, a by-election. So in fact, Henderson has told a lie. He has offered an untruth, the statement of his statutory declaration, part of his nominations process, is improper, is untrue, and as a result, he needs to be removed from the list of candidates. That is not difficult to understand. The rules are very clear. The laws are very clear. In keeping with our intention to find, if you will, an orderly resolution to problems like this, it was agreed that we would write this letter to the chair of the commission, Duncan Stowe, and ask him, in light of these revelations, to revisit their approval of Henderson as a candidate in the upcoming by-election. So the very soft, a very gentle kind of approach, saying, look, here's the evidence we have, here's the evidence available to the public, and that really makes clear that there has been a violation of the laws governing the selection and appointment of nominated candidates. And could you please revisit that urgently and get back to us by 12 o'clock today? That's not a huge task. They could have simply verified the authenticity of the evidence that we shared with them, and so could immediately have convened their commission. The commission is four of them plus the chair, and they could have clearly in half an hour of discussion taken a decision and communicated in time, on time, as to their error and the steps they had taken to correct their error. Unfortunately, here we are, and there is no communication. And yesterday, when I personally delivered the letter to the office of the commission right behind us here, I had the privilege of a conversation with the chief elections officer, Mr. Anthony, who in fact informed me that he would immediately get this letter to the chairman. It is likely, he offered, that the chairman would ask him to open the letter and read it to him and then give him instructions. I have no reason at all to doubt that description of the process given to me yesterday by Mr. Anthony. So I have no doubt that even before we left the compound of the Electoral Commission yesterday, the letter that we brought would have been opened and read. It's not a long letter, to the chairman of the commission, so that there would have been more than enough time to convene a meeting of the four commissioners and to have a meeting to review that earlier decision. That was not to be. It seems that our decision to go with an orderly approach, consistent with procedures, consistent with the process of communication, respectful communication, etc., that does not seem to work, or did not seem to work. And it strikes me that in addition to all the other inequities and irregularities that plague electoral processes in Dominica up until today, somebody still feels the need to further violate the integrity of the process by allowing somebody who is ineligible to be nominated in a by-election in Dominica. And it makes you wonder, I know why. It makes some people wonder, but why? Why would such clear rules and procedures and processes that had been followed for decades before, why would they not be followed in recent years? And the answer is very clear. What we have in Dominica is a problem. I don't believe that the leadership of the country is the problem. No, I don't believe so. I believe the leadership of the country is the poison, wow, not the problem. Yeah. And they have contaminated several layers of leadership in the administrative part of government, in the private sector, and in civil society. That poison that they are has contaminated the electoral process, the governance process, every other process that has something to do with Dominica making headway. Yes. So if the leadership is the poison and not the problem, what is the problem? Who is the problem? Well, let me tell you. We are the problem.
Yes.
We are the problem. Dominica is not making headway because we agree to allow poison to rule in our country.
Yes.
We, the people. If we are the problem, guess what? We are also the solution.
Yes.
No leader, no organization of anywhere can be the solution because we are the problem. And we must offer the solution.
That's right.
We have tried to offer a solution in an orderly, one could even say peaceful way. That has not worked. It has been tried for years. It hasn't worked. Because the poison is very, very toxic. Whoa. And the means by which the poison spreads itself is money.
Yeah.
And greed.
Yeah.
And corruption.
Yeah.
And illegality.
Yes.
So, my brothers and sisters, here we are. We have offered, if you will, an opportunity for conversation with the Commission. And Duncan Stowe, a lawyer, Alec Lawrence, a lawyer, Lennox Lawrence, a lawyer, the three of them have decided they rather keep the poison and get rid of the people.
Wow.
That is the significance of their decision and their clear refusal to respond.
Hmm.
And as they spread the poison through the country, it is not, as the late Pierre Charles would say, people seem to wear their ignorance like a badge of honor. No, no, no.
Hmm.
It is that we seem prepared to drink the poison, to eat the poison, to dress the poison, to revenge with the poison. That is the problem. So my brothers and sisters, we, the four of us who have signed this letter, did so as an act of solidarity with the people of Granby. And in the same way that I'm telling you, if we are the problem nationally, we have to be the solution. Clearly, if there is a problem confronting Granby now, as we get to this by-election, then it is up to the people of Granby to offer a solution.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nobody from outside that community knows better than the people of Granby what is the extent of the problem.
That's right.
So, I am here only to tell you that I believe we have exhausted an orderly, peaceful approach to this problem. And we have only two choices. The people of Granby only have two choices. Two, not more. The first choice they have is to say, well, eh bien, c'est comme ça y est. C'est comme ça Dominique y est. And turn around and go back and put your tails behind your legs, between your legs, and relax. That's one. I don't believe the people of Granby will accept that solution. But we're going to hear from them just now. The second option is that if it is that the commission and on the lawyers on the commission and all those who support this illegal attempt to put Vince on as a candidate, if it is that they don't know how to bring about free and fair elections in Granby, let me assure you, the people of Granby know very well what they have to do in order to allow for free and fair elections.
Hallelujah.
Hear me well. Hear me well. They know what they have to do. The question arises, do they have the dedication and the discipline and the courage to do it? I answer yes. I say yes. But it is going to be up to them. It is going to be up to them. I can assure them that people like myself and the other signatories of that letter would be firmly along with them on the journey and the option that they decide to take, whatever it is. As long as it is not an option that's going to compromise your principles, your ethics, your heritage as a struggling people, as a brave warrior people, as long as it is not something that will break that down, you could be assured, you are assured of our support. So, my job here is done for the moment. I want to invite the representatives of the people of Granby, the people of Granby who are here with us this morning, who came anxiously awaiting the news and the word from the commission, you know. And in fact, those people are here. And they are going to speak to you and to the world, because we are flashing this to all throughout the world. So the people of Grand Bay,